Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechNori live from WGN Radio with Beth Bond. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to chat with our guest today.
Me too. Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was great. Not the weekend,
sounds
but
great.
Tonight I get to go to the Hawks game, so
what?
I'm pretty excited about that.
You know they're not going to make the playoffs, right?
Well, that's okay. It's all about the energy, Scott. Just go into, what do they call it, Madhouse on Madison?
If you drink enough.
Yeah.
If you have a good enough time. Well, that sounds good. We've got a good kind of slate of shows today. So our very first guest coming into the show, I think you were here for this. We had Every Table on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of brought this conversation of we should be talking to companies that are based in Chicago that do, different things in the food tech area. We have actually not by... We haven't done it on purpose, but we've had a lot of different food tech companies on here from Tavala and Tavala, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just a bunch of different folks. So it makes perfect sense that we talk to Square Roots Kitchen. Co-founder and CTO is joining us, Jason White.
Wait a minute, turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
So I want to invite Jason White to the conversation. Welcome to the show.
Hey Scott, thank you.
Of course. So, usually we start this off by trying to get a little bit more familiar with the founder and kind of understand, what brought you this. This company in particular has, I think, kind of an interesting story. It's not dissimilar from Every Table in that technology is by far the focal point and the use case of like how they're getting the healthy, fresh food to people. So before we talk a little bit more about what exactly Square Roots Kitchen does, let's talk about your sort of background and journey and what attracted you to the food tech market.
Sure. So a big lead-in for me was at that time was actually one of a close friend of mine that grew up in the restaurant industry, got into finance and had this initial concept for Square Roots Kitchen, which is a technology-enabled fast casual restaurant. So we've virtually replaced the front of house and numerous things with the operations internally within our restaurant. But the initial concept coming from my partner, Darren, looking for help on the tech side of things. And, my background is I actually own Kitely Tech, which is a software development company that works with everybody from startups around here in Chicago to enterprise level clients, Fortune 500s around the world.
What's the main focal point for Kitely Tech?
So anything from web design, web development, mobile application, enterprise level software, custom software.
And you still are operating that while doing this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a large, a good significant portion of our team works on Square Roots Kitchen on a daily basis as we sort of evolve our product.
Okay. Very cool. Before we, jump more into this, the specifics of Square Root, I think what's kind of interesting to me, and you, Beth, I'm sure you've read about this or heard about it in the news frequently. You talk about McDonald's and Wendy's now starting to like phase out the frontline workers. You saw Burger King just tested their robot burger flipper.
Sure.
For a lot of reasons, they're in such a big level that they actually do have to worry about combating pushback from people like you're getting rid of minimum wage workers. But it does kind of pave the way, and maybe in some ways that you both pave each other's way to having companies like yours who never did have frontline workers necessarily. Mm. And also you are able to refine the technology, which makes you a massive acquisition target to a bigger player who wants to serve the same kind of food and stuff. So I got to think that when you decided to jump into this deal, that you had an eye on sort of where things were going in the fast casual marketplace. What about that opportunity drove you to wanting to get involved in this? Or was it just about serving fresh food and that was your thing?
No, it's definitely still about the food, which is a big part at Square Roots Kitchen. However, in terms of an opportunity, in the fast casual space, with a rising minimum wage, when you get into the higher end restaurants and there's alcohol sales, that helps offset, which is a historically low margin industry.
Sure.
So in the fast casual space, it becomes a real problem. So in terms of the rising minimum wage, so as well as the level of customization and like the level of service that people are looking for in their everyday lives, tech is driving every part of your everyday at this point, right? It's doing that for an expedited approach to everything that you do during the day.
Right.
So it's really, even at lunchtime, if the markets are open in the loop, people have a quick turnaround for lunch.
Yeah.
There's a healthy alternative there. So I think that there's definitely a big market, and I definitely see the evolution of these bigger brands coming into that market also. I mean, I recently saw something that McDonald's is taking their tax cut that they've gotten from the new tax incentives and reinvesting into technology.
Yeah. So, I was just over at the Chicago location, and they do have those mobile ordering screens now in their front of house.
Right. The McKiosk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're taking Starbucks. Billions of yeah. dollars and reinvesting into that process. So mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. Like, so I don't want to get into like the social economics of this necessarily. Mm. I am a supporter of raising the minimum wage. I know that it has negative impacts on a lot of things, but in all reality, like we have to either pay people to live mm-hmm. or we have to give them a livable wage. Mm-hmm. But one of the parts that I think is grossly misrepresented in the news and the media and everywhere else when it comes to this is you mentioned it, Jason, a second ago when you talked about the historically low margins. I don't think people are aware that like a quote unquote successful restaurant operates at a 10% margin.
Yeah.
Like that's considered like, wow, you really like did your work.
Absolutely.
And we've had guests like Nick Kokonis from Talk in here talking about how if restaurants don't change the way that they measure waste, they're going to outplay, like they're literally going to not be able to survive right. because currently the way that it's designed, yeah, it's awful that, you know, we are forced to tip our waiters and waitresses, but in all reality, like we can't predict who's coming in the door tonight. And I don't know how much food's going to waste. I don't know what they're going to order. So unless you have something like a system like Talk in place mm-hmm. that sets that order, I could lose everything I made this week on Friday, or I could double my week. And I literally don't know until Saturday.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you start to think of things like this, while it may cut out some of the jobs on the front line at first, the amount of money that's made and the ability to increase the margins on the front end enable you to find other places right. to hire the same people to create a better customer experience. So maybe the fact that for the last 100 years we've been able to say, hello, ma'am, I'd like to order blah, 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 or hello, mister, I'd like to order blah, blah, blah. Maybe now at the end, that person comes back into the picture in a customer experience way, and it just becomes a much more, I guess, streamlined business, if that makes sense.
It's like any time there's an evolution of technology, right? I mean, it's the jobs, if there's jobs being cut, then there's other jobs that are created, and the support, the infrastructure. So I think it's just an adjustment that needs to take place.
Well, yeah, and you're 100%. I mean, yeah. And Beth, I mean, you deal with this all the time, I think, in the community stuff with like the way that people like to spin things politically. Mm-hmm. We love to charge lines and be like, well, if you make more margins for McDonald's, you think they're just going to take that money and give it back to us? No, they're going to stuff it in their pockets. It's like, no, like they can't. There's too many competitors. They're going to have to, as you said, Jason, reinvest in technology.
Right.
And that means jobs. That means more people. So it's just, it's a crazy thing. And I guess that's one of the reasons I'm so fascinated with the food tech space and have people come in a lot is because of, this is one of maybe I would say three industries with media being right there and their education being right there that are, the disruption is not going to be just technological. It's going to be a complete disruption of how we experience the entire industry.
It is. And as well as customer attribution.
Oh my God.
I mean, the data points that we're able to collect. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of that like
interesting.
Less waste on society's food too.
Type philosophy at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have historical data and business analytics on our since opening.
Truth. One of the biggest truths out of this whole thing, I think, is going to end up being that having systems like you guys are building in place will make it so that less wasted environmental stuff is being used.
That's such a great point. Yeah, I wonder, do you have, you know, there's a limited amount of time for you to kind of analyze what the average is in the marketplace for food waste, but are you showing a comparison and being much lower because you can track that ordering much more effectively?
Yeah, I mean, even in terms of food waste and ordering predictability on our side of things, so just in like, you know, goods, perishable goods, right? So there's a lot of predictability that we're able to do. I mean, even in the prep side of things, mm-hmm. I mean, we look at that data, we know what to prep for the next day. So it really adds, I mean, the efficiency that's added all the way around and the waste that it's cut in every part of our operation, it's amazing.
So I guess walk us through, if I was a customer, walk me through the experience of working with Square Roots Kitchen. I want to know like whether I'm, if it's for regular Joe or if it's, is it commercial catering? Is it all of it? Like walk me through the process.
Yeah, sure. So we started out a few years ago actually proving our food and our concept and creating our supply chain. So we were working out of a shared commercial kitchen in Lakeview, and we became one of the bigger leaseholders at that point. So we were just kind of ready for that next thing. So with that, we established a lot of channel partners, Fooda, you know, Uber Eats, Grubhub, all the big delivery names in town. But we also established a lot of big, significant catering base, right? So us moving down into our Greektown location, it really gives us access on a corporate level. So, you know, we've had things with LinkedIn, Groupon. I mean, we're across the board in terms of, like, you know, the Loop and some of the surrounding areas. So on a corporate level, there's definitely a big opportunity for catering or pop-ups, family style, what have you. But and the average consumer walking into the store, being met by 32-inch touch panels vertically mounted in the architecture as you walk in, and, you know, it goes back to our whole thing. It's like, it's all about customization and nutritional transparency. So not only is it efficient on our side, it's really adding that level of transparency as opposed to some of these restaurants that, you know, you're asking for nutritional information and they throw a book on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So we're actually showing you as you're making your selections on a build your own kind of style, how each selection inputs your nutritional factors. So it's we sort of act as a crutch, and we have a patent pending macro and micronutrient calculator that Basically we say, are you on any allergies?
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, do you have any allergies? Are you on any diets? And we actually take our build your own and give it into a recommended or to avoid. So we become a crutch for that diet as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that
is. You can see how, like, I don't know if you caught the interview we did with Pour My Beer, Josh Goodman, but it's an electronically serves alcohol. And I'm sure they could serve other things as well, but alcohol being something that's monitored, and it's like you put your ID in and you get a certain amount of credits and then you get a certain amount of drinks and it cuts you off after a certain amount. I could literally see where you walk into a casual lunch, casual dining, and just be like, tap, 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 card, ID, number, tokens, here you go, and I've got a lunch built for my diet and the beer to ruin my diet, and out the door we go.
Sure.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Very cool. So walk me through a little bit more on, like, how you guys are making money with this, like what the prospects look like. How do you build this into more than just like one shop, or is it something that you want to be really sticking to the delivery mechanism? Like, what's the ideal scenario for you?
Yeah, so I mean, that question comes up a lot, right? Because I mean, we also have a technology
mostly by board
piece.
Members.
So yeah, so they're like, would you like to continue as a restaurant and continue that fast casual business, or are you looking to maybe sell the tech and what's going on? Right.
Right,
that was a big question that came up, especially during our fundraising process.
Sure.
Because everyone wants to invest in tech.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Restaurant space is scary. Technology is a little safer.
Yeah.
So, you know, our plan is to really grow out the actual brick and mortar locations around the city. You know, and then you normally get to 5, 6, 7 locations. The franchise question happens, you know, are you going to continue on a corporate level? Or are you looking to maybe find channel partners in the East and West Coast, as well as the technology? I mean, Darren and I are both businessmen. So, you know, we're
open to negotiation.
I mean, put it on the table.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of
literally
the name of the game. So we're not sure what the forecast is right now. I know that the initial concept is we want to grow out these brick and mortar locations.
With the supply chain you mentioned, so I assume you have fresh food partners and things lined up. Like, how does that whole side of it work? Because I could see a place where, like I mentioned in the beginning of this, where you become a pretty fast acquisition target because they go, well, they have a supply chain for fresh food. We want to serve, like, Taco Bell wants to partner its nice spicy French fries with your fresh food. They would say, oh, well, we don't have these partners lined up. You do. You've proven the concept with your tech. It's a natural integration. We buy you and the food. Maybe the food phases out. Maybe it doesn't. Then they have the tech. But, like, how well integrated is the supply chain?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the benefit of opening up 2 years ago, right? So we've kind of been there, done that, established some relationships. Some worked out better than others.
Yeah.
And some are sticking with us. So, you know, that's a constant evolution for us also, especially as we hit some type of scale and we have, you know, fluctuations in costs.
You know,
once you hit some type of scalability, then our food costs obviously go down. You know, margins go up.
Yep.
So right now it's everything's aligned and we're constantly looking to optimize what those relationships look like. Mm-hmm. I think you can't really get comfortable in that space. And we're constantly shopping it.
Very cool. Yeah. So from your perspective, having kind of, you know, dealt with this now for several years, what would you say? I know that you just said that, you know, the forecast is sort of unpredictable for you. What do you see the experience for customers going with regard to the food industry in general? Like, you know, we talked a little bit about the fact that you're going to see a replacement of some of the front end workers, some slight shifts in experience, but will that be something you see in the next 5 years as just everywhere? Or do you see there being sort of this, like, random bespoke restaurants and that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always liken this to like alcohol, beer. There's your IPAs and your private pubs, and then there's sort of corporate.
Sure. Yeah.
Where do you see the food industry going in the next 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, on the higher end, like we spoke, like the higher end restaurants, they have opportunities to create margins elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, right? So even a steakhouse, I mean, the majority of their revenue really isn't generated by the food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it really depends on which niche within the food industry and where that's going. But I do think that the fast casual space, it's an evolve or get forgotten about.
Sure.
I really do. So, you know, you see it a lot of times, though. I don't think that it's necessarily the evolution doesn't really just entail putting a Band-Aid on the ordering process. I mean, if you're going to go into where it's really creating some type of value, mm-hmm. then it goes to the back of house, it goes to your ordering, it goes to employee management, it goes to a whole lot on the business analytics side of things too.
No, I agree. I mean, we've seen, I think we saw it a couple of years ago, a super influx in apps that were trying to reduce the time of waiting and like stand in line apps and get my tab apps and all this stuff. And it's like, I saw this is going to sound kind of dumb, but I saw this little thing pop up on the elevator ride down today that said, well, I don't even remember, Sam, I don't know if you remember the amount of time that was, it's like something like 60% of the time spent using in-workplace apps is actually a drain on their use case. It's like a ridiculous amount. We're like, we pay for these workplace apps and they actually drain us. They don't help us.
Oh yeah.
And I think we saw that with a lot of these pay my bill tab thing apps. It just became too wonky.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to see people actually wake up and be like, you know, the processes that we use don't necessarily have to be the same processes anymore.
No,
like, we
exactly.
can change them.
Exactly.
And you guys are doing that, which is great.
And you see a lot of that too, even on like a CRM basis, right? You know, you're running a Salesforce team or what have you. Majority of their sales time's actually spent inputting it into right. their
yeah.
CRM.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. a very good analogy. We'll have to check this place out. Where can we go to actually try out Square Roots Kitchen?
Cool. So our website is squarerootskitchen.com. Our first location is at 120 South Halstead in Greektown.
Very cool.
Right next to Dugan's there.
Nice.
And, you know, we're basically our delivery radius takes us all the way up to Division and Michigan Avenue and then most of the Loop and all over the West Loop area. So
awesome. Cool. Very yeah. cool. We'll have to check it out.
Cool.
Thank you so
good,
much
guys.
For coming in.
Thank
of course. You can catch this episode or more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon, or you can follow Beth Bond at
Beth Bond.
At Beth Bond. Boom. That's a wrap.